invite you to take your copy of God's holy inspired word and turn to 1 Samuel 29. 1 Samuel 29. If you do not have a Bible with you today, you can get the pew Bible in front of you. You should be able to find 1 Samuel chapter 29 in the Old Testament. Christians, as followers of Jesus, and hopefully that was an encouragement to you. What is interesting, though, is we actually could have just stayed right in 1 Samuel and still gotten some of that same theme or same idea that we covered last week just by being in the text. What we like to do here is go through books of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and part of the theme of the chapter today is actually when hard things or bad things happen, how we should respond, and that was something that we covered last week, and so I'm excited to cover it again in 1 Samuel. A couple weeks ago, we were going through the text together, and we saw that David had been, again, blessed by God. He had the opportunity to kill Saul again, King Saul, who's been trying to kill him over and over again, and he didn't take it, and David actually got to creep right into his camp, go right up next to him, and could have taken the spear and killed him, and he didn't do it. God had blessed David and put a deep sleep among all the army that was around Saul. So David went right up there, grabbed the spear, grabbed a jar of water, and went a little distance away, called out, and we had an exchange go back and forth between David and Saul. And at the end of it, Saul seems to repent perhaps, but he apologizes to David and says, "You know what? I was wrong. Come back and live with me." And David's like, "Yeah, I'm still not doing that. I don't trust you at all." And then we unpacked again a couple weeks ago where God blessed David again, delivered him again, and then David fled to go live among the Philistines. He began to doubt God's faithfulness. He took his eyes off of God, began to look at the things around him, and began to doubt God's goodness. So 2 weeks ago, we moved on, and we started chapter 28, or actually went through chapter 28, but the way it started off, it seemed like we were going to get a lot more details about David, because he's now been living for over a year and a half among the Philistines, the enemies of God, and he seems to be actually fighting for the Philistines against other people. And I read to you 1 Samuel chapter 28. It said this in verses 1 and 2. "In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war, to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, 'Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army.' David said to Achish, 'Very well, you shall know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life.'" And we read that and like, okay, how is this going to work for David? How is he going to be this Philistine's bodyguard for life when he's supposed to be the king of Israel? And then the writer of the text interrupted us with the story of Saul going to the witch at Endor. And we covered that. And now we pick right back up where I just read those two verses to you. David had said, "Very well, I'll go and fight and I'll show you what I can do." And he says, "All right, you're going to be my bodyguard." David is supposed to be the bodyguard of the enemy of God. How is he going to get out of this? Chapter 29 will help us. Follow along with me silently as I read the text. 1 Samuel chapter 29, beginning verse 1. "Now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines were passing on by hundreds and by thousands. And David and his men were passing on in the rear with Achish. The commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me now for days and years? And since he deserted to me, I have found no fault in him to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. The commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary, an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David, of whom they sing to one another in dances, 'Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, "As the Lord lives, you have been honest. And to me it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. For I found nothing wrong in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not approve of you. So go back now, and go peaceably, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." And David said to Achish, "But what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day I entered your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my Lord the King?" And Achish answered David and said, "I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to them.' Now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who came with you, and start early in the morning and depart as soon as you have light." So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, but the Philistines went up to Jezreel. We're going to go into chapter 30 in just a moment, but let's go ahead and unpack some of these verses together and see what in the world is going on. We knew that David's been living among the Philistines, the enemies of God, and even though throughout he's killed Goliath, their champion, and he's killed thousands of the Philistines, they allowed him to come in and live among them. And so now the Philistines have decided it's time to attack the Israelites. And David is living among them. And from what the text seems to say, they're going to go out, they're going to attack the Israelites. And David seems to be going with them. He seems to have found a home among them. And he's heading that direction. There's some discussion of whether kind of David was faking, but I would tell you there's nothing in the text that shows that. In fact, I would submit to you guys that this is actually the downfall, or starting to be the downfall, of David. He denied God, or at least started to see or question God's faithfulness, and he retreated away to the Philistines. And he's been living among them, becoming more and more like them, thinking like them in many ways. And now he's stuck serving the Philistines, and they have actually dealt with him in very honorable ways. And so it seems, according to the text, that he was heading out. So the first thing I have for you this morning is you need to be very careful, friends. I need to be very careful, friends. Because what can start as small sin in our lives, just maybe doubting that God can do something, just slightly shifting a little bit, could turn to where you're willing to attack the people of God. Remember, David's not in the text for you to think that he's a great guy. David is not in the scripture so we can lift David up. The good parts of David are to point us to Jesus. The bad parts of David are to show us ourselves. And we need to be very, very careful. Even when David maybe fled to the Philistines to live among them for this long period, he probably didn't think that this is where he would end up. But God is gracious today. God works in only ways that God can work, that David doesn't actually get that choice. He comes and he says, okay, we're going out to battle. And it says, according to the text, that he's on the back end. He's following along. The lords of the Philistines are leading them. He's in the back here. And the lords of the Philistines go, wait a minute, we know about David. And we're going to be engaged in battle, and he's going to attack us from behind. And so they're worried, which they probably should have been, because he's killed thousands. And so they said, no. Just send the guy back to the land that you gave him. And so Achish talks with David, and he tells him, look down at verse 6, as the Lord lives, you have been honest. This Philistine ruler now is speaking of David's God in a way that was very foreign to him. I don't know if that is David's influence in his life, or he's being respectful to David and talking about David's God. We don't know why he's doing that, but it is strange for this Philistine ruler to be saying to David, as the Lord lives. That's something that only God's people should be saying, but he says it. And he's saying to him, it seems right that you should come out and march with me. You have been honest. You have done nothing wrong. But I'm sorry, we took a vote. You can't come with us. This is God's provision. You guys, when we have our minds, our hearts set on doing something that is against God's will, it is against what He would have for us, it is sinful, it is wrong, God will allow us to do that for a while. This is a year and a half, 2 years, David is doing this. But there comes a point where God says, Enough is enough. And he steps in to save David from doing something that would have been terrible in attacking God's people, especially when he's their king. And so I want you to also see today that, again, we have to be very careful so we don't go down that slippery slope of sin. But I also want you to look around in your life and see where God has been merciful and gracious to stop from continuing to go down this. See the providence of God. See how God works things out. And maybe right now he's working things out in your life. Right now he's stepping in and saying, no more. It seems like for the Christian that the Lord will allow us, it's part of our sanctification, it seems that he will allow us to make these bad choices. And then he teaches us things and we're supposed to repent and move forward. And at times, some of you guys, not me, but you guys, are very thick-headed. Very thick-headed. And so we keep going. And what's interesting is there are a few places in the New Testament, like in 1 Corinthians when they're taking the Lord's Supper, or maybe in Acts when they're supposed to be giving they sell the land, they're supposed to give money to the elders to help others. They lie about that, Ananias and Sapphira. There seems to be times that if we keep going, the Lord and his providence intervenes and shifts us, or he takes us out. Even as followers of his. Why? Because of his name's sake. You look at those believers out in the church of Corinth, they're taking the Lord's Supper and they're taking it rightly or wrongly. Wrongly. And he says, some of you have gotten sick and some of you have died because you keep abusing them. Guys, this is something that we struggle with. Is we follow Christ and we're trying to follow Christ, but sin comes in. And if we don't repent of it, we slip further and further. He'll let us go, but then he will intervene. Because, as some of the stuff we talked about last week, Jesus is the author and what? Effector or finisher of our faith. So he's not going to let you just keep going. He's either going to intervene in an amazing way that you turn, or he will take you out. The problem with that is with David, is he's not going to just take him out. Why? Because there's prophecies about David that are still. There's Jesus who has to come from David's line. So we know he's not going to take David out, but he's going to save David from himself. And so he sends David through the Philistines Again, have we seen this over and over again, how God keeps using his enemies to save his own people? It's remarkable. So Achish told him, all right, get up early and you guys just go back home. And that was the end of 29. Now, we're going to do 6 verses in 30. Because things aren't great for David, they're about to get a lot worse. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag, on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against Negev and against Ziklag. They overcame Ziklag and burned it with fire. This is where he was staying. This is where he was living. And taking capture of the women and all who were in it, both small and great. David went off to go fight against God's people. God saves him from doing that. But while he's there disobeying, guess what? Other bad things are happening. And so we need to understand that our choices, yes, God will deliver us. He protects us. But there are also consequences for our choices. You have actually 2 different consequences going on here for choices. One is David going off like this, and so the Amalekites come in and attack and burn everything. But for those of you who have been following along in 1 Samuel, the Amalekites shouldn't have even been there in the first place. Saul was commanded to wipe them out, so he disobeyed. 2 different guys disobeying causes this issue here. Our disobedience always hurts others, whether we see it or not. But notice, they carry him off, but they killed no one. They carried them off and went their way. God's protection over David's people, even though David's being a bonehead. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. How about riding back up to them? Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. You ever been there? David's 2 wives also had been taken captive. Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal. Now watch this. This is where we're ending. Last verse. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. Now even David's own people are turning against him. Man, it is going downhill faster. And that kind of makes sense to us. I mean, right? If David was a leader, and he said, let's go, we're going to leave, and you come back, and your children are taken away, you think somebody's going to pay. And it was David. Commentators believe that Psalm 25, at least part of it, may have been written right at this point by David. David says this in Psalm 25. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all of my sins. David looks around. He sees people who have been with him now want to kill him. He almost went and killed his own people, and God intervened, and he's at his lowest point. And as he's at his lowest point, which ties into part of what we were talking about last week, for many right now, this might be the lowest or one of the lowest points in their lives. And look what David does. This is the difference between David and Saul. Right? Throughout the text, throughout the chapters, we see David and Saul, right? David doesn't get bitter. David eventually comes back to God. Look what it says in verse 6. But David strengthened himself. The Lord is gone. He got it. It took almost wiping out God's people, God providentially working so he wouldn't do so, coming back to the city and seeing destruction and the wives and the children being taken, and then David goes, I need we'll do whatever it takes to bring us back. And so when you have these trying times, do you respond like David does? Do you find your strength in God? Look what it says. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. That starts off with, is the Lord your God? Do you know him through Jesus? Have you believed in him? Have you believed in Jesus' death for you? His resurrection for you? That's where that starts. Is God your God? But then, if he is your God, do you go and get strengthened in him? What does that mean? Think about it a minute. David went and he was strengthened in his God. What does that look like? I was thinking through this. What does that actually mean? And so for some of you nerdy people, I've got a little acronym thing here for you. David in this moment doesn't ask why. He's not going, why God, why? I would submit to you, instead of asking why, ask what? What are you teaching me, God? What are you teaching me? And so each letter, I have something for you. What? So, bad times come, hurricane comes, trials come, whatever it is, ask God, what? What are you teaching me? When that comes, here's what you need to think about. Remind yourself, you're saying what? W. You need to remind yourself who God is. From the scriptures, you need to remind yourself who God is. Because if you get off on who God is, then you're going to end up in the wrong place. You got to start with who God is. Bad times come, it's difficult, it's crazy, whatever's going on. You need to remind yourself of things like God is sovereign. God is in absolute control. He is sitting on the throne. Nothing catches him by surprise. You need to remind yourself that he is holy, set apart, perfect. He never does anything wrong, and he is all-loving, all-powerful. Remind yourself who God is. That's the first thing when you're asking, what do you need? H, ask the question, or remind yourself, how does God work in the Bible? This would be tied to ideas out of like Romans 8, where he is working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He is constantly taking broken pieces and making something beautiful. Again, who is he? How does he work? And so when these trials, these difficulties are coming, okay, God, I know who you are now. I'm trying to be reminded of how you work. You're strengthening my faith. You're working in different ways that I can't even see. But go back and just say, how does he work in general? That would be the H. The A would be ask him for help. David strengthened himself in the Lord, and you go and you read the Psalms, and he's crying out to God, asking God to help him. I would encourage you, when the hard times come, not ask why, ask what. Remind yourself who God is, how does he work, and just ask him, God, please help me. I cannot go on any longer. I'm at my limit. Will you please help me, empower me, give me peace? Guess what? Do it. And then T. Trust that. In faith, start moving forward step by step, trusting he will do what he said he would do. David is about as low as you can go, and if you go into 2 Samuel, you're going to see that he does some more bad actions, makes more bad decisions, but David is not there for us to go, man, look how amazing. David's there for us to look and go, especially when he's struggling, for us to go, it's me. Been there. And some of you are there, and so let me encourage you, strengthen yourself in your God by asking that question of what and not why. Work through those options. Jesus and David in this chapter. David turned on his own people. Jesus never turns on his people. David lost his wife and kids and his people. Jesus says he'll never lose any of us. Achish said to David that he was innocent. He hadn't done anything wrong. And as far as his relationship with David and Achish, that was true. But David was not innocent. These bad things that were happening to David, it wasn't this idea of bad things happening to a good person. I love how R.C. Sproul talks about that. There's no such thing as bad things happening to good people. That doesn't exist. Well, it did once. One time, bad things happened to a good person. He volunteered for it. Jesus is the only one who is good. And the bad things that happened to him, he volunteered for us. The rest of us, we should be a thankful people. The question should not be, why do bad things happen to good people? The question should be, why does anything good happen to us bad people? And the answer is, mercy and grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. We're thankful that Jesus is the better David, that he's the perfect king. The one who can open the scroll, the one who is holy. And so, Lord, when we're in sin, Lord, help us not to slip further. Help us to be very careful to repent and turn back to you. Lord, help us to see when you intervene by your providence to move us away from those things. Help us to follow in that. And as we turn back, help us to be like David in this moment. We find our strength in you, O God. Help us not to be a people sitting around pretending or thinking that we are these victims and asking why this and why that, Lord. No, 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 no. Help us to think, what are you teaching us? Remind us of who you are, God. How do you work? Help us by your Spirit to ask for your peace. And help us to trust you more. Because you are trustworthy. You proved it with your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.